It's the Taskmaster Podcast, the Taskmaster Pod. It's the Taskmaster Podcast. Listen, you sod. Go see the episode first. Turn off now and go. If you hear this first, you'll ruin the show. But if you've seen it, that's fine. You're welcome to listen to this podcast. Ed Gamble. Welcome to the Taskmaster Podcast. We are going to be chatting this week about episode 6 of series 10 of Taskmaster. I thought it was about time we had a theme tune. You might recognise the tune. It's from the League of Gentlemen, and I've set my own words to it. But, very important, I said it within that. Go and watch the episode first. This is not your entry point into this series of Taskmaster. Go and watch all the episodes first, and then listen to us chat about it. Another brilliant episode, over halfway through now. Who would have thought it? It's gone so quickly. And we have a brilliant special guest this week to dissect and discuss everything that happened on this week's episode. The guest is the wonderful Jess Knappett. Yes, she's an actual good person from Series 7. We are very lucky to have her. Looking forward to hearing what she thinks of this series of Taskmaster, this set of contestants, and everything that happened this week. Obviously, Taskmaster is on Thursday nights, Channel 4, 9 p.m, family-friendly version, Sundays, E4, 6 p.m. I genuinely don't know what they're doing family-friendly version-wise about Daisy in the studio tasks. I'll be intrigued to see it. So, let's crack on with the episode. I'll do more admin stuff after. I'll tell you about the Taskmaster store. I'll tell you now, it's taskmasterstore.com. Christmas presents and all that, some really fun merch on there. Taskmaster YouTube channel, loads more deleted scenes, extra content. A little compilation this week went up, a sort of tribute to Greg, and I saw a few people slightly worried that he was dead, because that's what it looked like. It looked like it was a tribute to him because he died, falling down a hole. That's how I'd imagine it's going to happen. So let's crack on. Let's chat to Jess Knappett. I will see you on the other side of this. Okay, bye. Welcome, Jess Knappett, to the Taskmaster Podcast.
Thank you, Ed.
So exciting to have you on. Our second season 7 alum on the podcast. We had James Acaster last week.
Yes.
Here you are to save the day and pick up after him. Finally, someone who actually did well in that series.
Well,
is going to be on the podcast.
Oh, that's a bit harsh. James
he came
did all
second
right,
bottom. He came oh, second
he?
Bottom. Yeah, he was very. A lot of people forget that because I always think, oh, maybe he came third, but no, he came second bottom. He didn't do well.
Well, that does surprise. See, you forget, don't you? Because you only really remember the winner.
You only remember the winner, and of course, you loser. Who came second.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that, of course.
Well,
I do.
Because I only came second by a point.
Yeah, it was so close. You and Kerry up the top there, absolutely vying for the top spot. Does that still hurt, Jess?
Look, I'll be honest. It does, yeah. I'm glad that it was Kerry because I was rooting for Kerry because I just really love her. Not that I don't love the other people. But I felt that she just was doing consistently great work on that show, so she deserved it, but it still smarts. I still blame my prize task for losing, actually, even though the real reason I lost was because I couldn't tell the difference between James Acaster's sausage or finger, which is sort of fine because in a way I could never have prepared for that.
Yeah, there's no way you can train. You can train for that sort of thing.
No, unless we'd have had our own little secret.
Yeah.
And I think that was upsetting. But really, I think the thing that got me on that last episode was I brought in a bad prize task.
Will you take us through what that bad prize task was, if it's not too painful?
The thing is, it was a pencil. It was best stationery. It was best station, bring in the best stationery or something like that. And I brought in my pencil that says, I've completed my transportation survey 1999. And I actually do love that pencil. Yeah, I think it's the best pencil. It's a great pencil. And I had a little joke to back it up to Greg, which is what you need. You need to just make him have a little chuckle, which is that I hadn't completed my transportation survey 1999.
That's the humour of the pencil.
That's the humour of the pencil. It's ironic. And he loved it at the time. He was very tickled by it. And that's what hurts the most. Because then Kerry brought in a laminator and they both just lost their minds over the wonder of a laminator, which you might even argue isn't stationary. And then here's the thing that annoyed me about it was that Greg claimed, you know, he laughed all the way through my pencil. And then when the laminator came in, he just completely forgot how much he loved my pencil. And then he started just handing out points willy-nilly to all the other guests. And I ended up with something like 2 points. Whereas if he'd have actually given me the points in response to how much he loved it at the time. Anyway, look.
No, that is the tricky thing. If you're early with the prize task, if they come to you first for the prize task, it's got to be absolutely amazing. It's got to get a round of applause from the audience to stick in Greg's mind, because otherwise, if he works his way down...
The placing matters. That's so true.
It really does. Really does. I was, you know, I was hung by the placing a lot, to be honest. Dreadful.
You won, so...
I did win, yeah.
So you can't really complain about any of your...
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah.
But you must have had some highlights as well, Jess.
Oh, I mean, the whole thing was just a joy, and all I do is just try and think of ways that I can have Taskmaster back in my life.
Yeah.
Which I can't. And that's the other reason why I'm so upset that I lost, because I still think if I'd have won, there's still a chance that they might do another Champion of Champions. You must think about that all the time. That means you get to do it again. Because nothing will ever be as fun. I've been miserable ever since. No, I just honestly can't. I can't tell you how much I loved that show. I was borderline hysterical all the way through it. I think they must have cut out about 20 hours of just hysterical laughter. I was like a child.
You are responsible for one of my favourite Taskmaster moments. I'm a very basic man when it comes to humour. I chuckle at very standard things. And what am I going to say, Jess?
When I fell off the stage.
When you fell off the stage, of course. But you had to do a funky walk, was it? And then hit the drum at the end.
You had to do the silliest walk. Everyone else was blindfolded. You had to do the silliest walk. And then there was some sort of timing to it. It had to take 10 seconds or anything. Obviously, it took me a little bit longer than 10 seconds. Because what I did was I thought, I'll pretend to fall off the stage because that will make Greg laugh. And that'll be silly. So I pretended, and then I did my pretend recovery, and then I actually fell off the stage.
It was perfect. Oh, it was so good.
And then, but everyone was genuinely quite concerned.
Yeah, there's a moment where Greg leapt up from his chair where I was like, oh no, this might be serious, because he's really worried about this. But then I was like, well, they've left it in the edit, so it's probably not. She's probably not dead, at least.
If I had have died doing that, I definitely would have liked them to have aired it.
Yeah, oh, for sure. It felt like...
As a tribute.
Have you seen Catchphrase, when that clip from Catchphrase where the presenter appears at the top of the stairs in the audience to run down to start the show, and he trips and falls down the stairs, and then it immediately hard cuts to him in the studio being like, well, that was 2 days ago and I broke my foot. It felt like they might do that. They used to, like, you fall off and then they cut to later and you're sat on the set.
Oh, it would have been great, wouldn't it? That moment I now am sort of most known for, and that's the thing that I probably get messaged about the most.
Well, you've made a lasting effect on Taskmaster more than a lot of people do, because they've named that stage after you.
I know. It's the Nappet stage. It's called the Nappet. I know. I got a little photo message from Andy D, the director.
Yeah.
I was absolutely delighted.
It's really cool. It's really cool.
I know. That is cool.
Now, you're known for that, sure, but I think another highlight that more people should be talking about is the soap that you and Kerry did.
Oh, cul-de-sac.
I love it when you see people use their actual skills in Taskmaster, and the acting chops flying around between you and Godly Men was quite astonishing.
Oh yeah, RSC, here we come. I mean, that I don't know why I didn't get more calls actually after that. Yeah, it was an absolute joy.
I want to see more of it.
I know, I do. I actually thought this is, because as someone who spends a really long time writing scripts and sometimes shooting them, it takes ages.
Yeah.
And that's the bit that's really boring and makes it, in many ways, not worthwhile. And doing that and then and being able to do it just completely on the spot and make it up, you know, writing what is basically a sketch, but it's a soap opera. It's a
proper serious soap opera.
In minutes with your mate.
I think you and Carrie just need to get together. Get a room and write at least maybe a half an hour ep.
He's the best I ever had, Donna!
You can't be with him, Donna.
Why? Because you're his mum!
So let's move on to the current series. What are your thoughts about how this series is going and the contestants?
Oh, well, I mean, it's a great series, isn't it?
It really is.
I am really enjoying it. Lots of laughing out louds for me. I feel like, I don't know about you, this cast seemed to me to be the most sort of emotionally volatile.
Yeah, I think so. There's a lot of hysteria.
There's a lot of emotion. I don't know if it's studio. Here's what I think. Mwan, to me, seems like the only person who's holding it together.
I do agree with that.
He's holding it together, whereas you've got Richard Herring, who seems incredibly stressed and anxious. He's sort of like quietly stressed most of the time.
Yeah,
He's
getting on with it. He's working hard, but yeah, he really feels, it feels like his life's falling apart.
But it's anxious. Catherine is on the brink of bursting into tears at any given moment.
Correct.
Which I'm really enjoying.
Yeah.
Johnny is always on the brink of falling apart. That's who he is. Although I would say his persona seems, he's slightly more clear-headed than I was expecting him to be. He seems quite...
Yeah, maybe
a lot
that's
more
in,
together.
Maybe in comparison, now he's seen what it looks like when people fall apart. He's seen Richard Herring and he's just thought, well, come on, you need to sort your life out.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that way. But he's also always just treading that fine line, isn't he, along the line of tragedy. I mean, I can't remember which episode was it, when he let go of the balloons.
Yeah.
That to me is just...
It was heartbreaking.
It was a heartbreaking classic Johnny Vegas moment. That's what I'm watching it for. And then Daisy, who I adore. I mean, I love them all, but I've loved Daisy for a long time from this country and I'm a big fan. And her rage has really taken me by surprise. But I sort of noticed kind of stroppy and sulkiness from her, which has been delightful in past
episodes.
It has built over the episodes because
she was so chilled for the first two. Like, and even just the way she does prize tasks just goes like, oh, this. She's like, she's so funny, but she just, her thing was she couldn't really care less. And every episode now, there's a new bit of rage just sneaking in. You can tell she sniffs a victory, I think, and she doesn't know how to handle it.
Yeah, it's competition. I was thinking that because I definitely started the same way. And not that I ever got angry about things, but I definitely, as it got closer to being able to win, I definitely really wanted to win. I never went in wanting to, but I can relate to that. And I think that's the beauty of the show, is that as the episodes wear on, people get more and more competitive.
Do you think anyone on this cast came in wanting to win?
I think Richard Herring he's sort of a bit like James was in our series, in the sense that he's obviously watched a lot of episodes and he believes he knows how the mind of the Taskmaster works.
Yeah.
And so he thinks he can play to that.
The difference being, I think Richard is actually doing that, whereas I think James realised episode one that he'd horribly misjudged it. So we've discussed prize tasks a little bit already. You talked about the injustice of the pencil event. What do you think your best prize task was?
It's funny because sometimes what would happen is you'd go in thinking, oh no, I've completely lost confidence in this. This was bad. Did that ever happen to you?
Every single time.
Why did I bring this prize in? And then what you have to do is you have to work on your defence. For the defence alone, I would say my worst gift from a relative was quite, I can't remember points wise what I got for it, but it was a feather boa and some long opera gloves that my mum gave me to wear for the school disco.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh God, this is just so crap. It's just going to look rubbish. And I don't know what I'm going to say. And then in the moment, I explained to Greg that the reason it was such a bad present because what happens when you get given that and you wear it to school disco is you do not get fingered. And then what was so nice was that James then picked up on that. I told a whole story about my friend Nell and then James was like, was pretending that he was married to Nell, and it just became a whole kind of fun thing.
Once you get a running joke started, and you've made a fingering joke, you know you're going to get good points, right?
I don't even know if I did. You know, sometimes people bring things in that are just plain brilliant, and there's no arguing with it. Like when Kerry brought in, I think it was most confusing thing, and Kerry brought in the wires behind her television.
Yeah, but that's pure Kerry, right?
It was classic Godleyman Bosch.
Like funny, observational, universal, domestic, classic Godleyman.
Classic Godleyman.
So good. This week's prize task in series 10 was most narcissistic thing.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea? Did anything occur to you when you saw that? Here's what I'd bring in straight away.
Well, I'll tell you what occurred to me was if that had been a task that I'd been given, I'd immediately think everyone's bringing in a self-portrait.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Mwan really went for the right. A shrine to yourself that was genuinely something that he'd made when he was 14 or whatever.
Huge respect to him.
That was incredible.
The winner as well. You know when you see something and it gets round of applause and there's no way anything else is going to beat that. A shrine to himself.
A shrine
with
to
some lovely pictures as well. And he admitted to sometimes lighting a candle and just looking at it.
Yeah, and he was like, that was me on my shoulder. That was lovely. I like to think that I would have gone a little bit outside the box with it. That's what you've got to do, right? Mm-hmm. You can't just... I think I would have gone, here's an idea, a Polaroid camera. Mm-hmm. That every photo you take is of me.
What, the camera, you give the camera to someone and they have...
And they take a photo, but the photo that comes out is always of me.
So, hang on, this is an amazing invention. I mean, let's role play this. I had to do a role play with James last week as well. Jess, you have brought in a Polaroid camera that you point at anything and it pops up with a picture of you.
Yeah.
How does it work?
You pop to the Eiffel Tower, you take a picture, out it comes. Oh, it's just Snap It.
So
you go and take a picture of Ed Gamble. Oh, hang on a minute, it's just Snap It.
Amazing. So how did you invent this? How does it work? If I opened it up, how does it work?
Well, good point. It's just full of pictures of me. My face instead of a what do you call it, a film.
Now I think that could be invented. I think you've actually done that there, because I thought what you've done is just invented a concept and just crossed your fingers that...
No, I'm actually going to make it. It's going to be something that I have to make.
Yeah.
But that's the hard bit. It's all very well, isn't it?
So you take loads of Polaroid pictures of yourself and then load those up in a Polaroid camera so they just spit out whatever. Yeah.
Or, well, here's another idea. I would rewrite a classic book, but I'd change the lead character to myself. Or something like Shakespearean sonnets, and I'd change all the vows and the these to Jess Nappet.
I think that's great. I think that's thinking outside the box. It's incredibly narcissistic. I think that in this series would have got 4 points, because I don't think anything's beating Mwan's shrine to himself. I think that's in.
Yeah,
and then your book or Polaroid camera is 4 points, maybe a joint five. It certainly beats the rest of them.
I mean, the thing is, the jigsaw was good, but he didn't even really try to sell it in, did he?
No, Harry? I think he'd really lost hope in that.
He lost confidence, and I understand that. I relate to that feeling. It's nothing worse.
Catherine's moulding was beautiful. I think she should have backed that up more. The fact that she'd painted it beautifully and put all those incredible plants in the head and sort of made herself into, and I quote Richard Herring, a nature goddess.
But she did all right, didn't she? Get quite good points for that.
She got 3 points. So Richard got 2 points for the jigsaw. Catherine got three for the nature goddess. Johnny got 4 points for the Lego. And I'm not sure about that, because it was something to like entertain his kid. And it was quite
It was a nice eye, wasn't it? But only one of them really looked like Johnny.
Yeah. Tricky with Lego. And 2 points for Daisy, and then obviously 5 points to Mwan. And I'm giving you...
Well deserved.
5 points, actually. A joint 5 points for your Polaroid camera / classic novel, Jess. Let's move on to first task proper. Which is silently make the tastiest cocktail with the coolest name. Now, this immediately, I love the idea of this. I love the idea of doing a cocktail one or a food one or something like that. But I think I would have really struggled on the quiet thing. That's not something I do well.
No, and it looked easier than I'm sure it was. So the second I saw it, I thought, well, that's... You can easily make a cocktail quietly.
Yeah.
And then, of course... you realise exactly how much clanging you have to do and how quiet 60 decibels is.
It's so quiet, isn't it?
It's very quiet.
Mwan couldn't believe it. Everything he did at the beginning, Alex was saying, no, that's over 60 decibels. He was going, no, it's not, is it?
Yeah.
He was gobsmacked every single time he did it.
Oh, God, and it was such a great... To see them all having to shout. It was absolutely a thing of beauty to watch, wasn't it?
It really was. But, I mean, there's some very bad choices made by people, I think. Specifically, I think Johnny and Richard both decided to open a bottle of sparkling wine.
I mean, you're not going to... What are you doing?
It's the noisiest drink.
And those... But then it seemed like you had... There was no way of getting to liquid without making noise. Because it seemed to me like everything was in a pressurised canister.
Yes.
I'm not sure. There was a bottle of what? There's no drink you can open quietly.
No.
What I realised. I think then I would have gone, okay, well, I can't open any of those bottles. So I'll, you know, try and cut open some fruit. But then, of course, that's going to be noisy.
Yeah.
And then I think one of them, I think Richard did the thing that I was like, oh, well, that's what you've got to do, is you've got to just open something, shout your thing, open another thing, shout. But then you... So as long as you haven't poured it into the glass...
Yeah, you don't have
to
throw
have
anything
to tip away.
But
so
here's
really
how...
you should have just done a series of prep.
Yes, exactly. Like loads of prep and then very quietly tried to put something into a glass. I think that was the way that most people worked out how to do it.
Apart from Catherine, who just poured a glass of milk, which was absolutely beautiful.
I felt so bad for Catherine because I think she was doing really well with the cocktail. She had a couple of attempts at it and they kept failing. And I think she probably values being a good host. I can imagine if you go over to Catherine's, she throws a good party.
Absolutely.
And she like makes nice drinks. And she's like, this is my famous cocktail. I don't know what, I mean, I've never met her. But that's, I'm just getting that from her on Taskmaster, that she'd be a good host. And she looked devastated.
This seemed to be going against all of her instincts. She was very, very stressed. This is what I mean about Catherine. She's just on the brink of tears all the time. And I just really feel for her. I know that stress.
Yeah. And we said that in the first episode, we noticed Catherine seemed to be on the brink of tears. And now seeing some of her tasks, I can see why. Because episode one, she's probably thinking, think about all the awful things I've done that might be coming up. She knew that, and it was all in her eyes.
Oh God, she's just a delight though, isn't she? I love Catherine. I love her whole demeanor.
Yeah. Now Johnny spat the carver in,
But that didn't even make sense, because the opening of the carver bottle was the thing that was the noisy thing, not the pouring of it.
Yeah. I don't know what he was thinking.
So he would have had to have poured it. I know he swigged it out of the bottle, didn't he? And then spat it in. It's like the swigging and the spitting that's not reducing the volume.
I guess he was trying to negate the glug. Because you can't control the glug, right? But I guess if you're taking a swig and then you can control your own spit and probably
do that.
You can
tip the glass though, can't you?
Oh yeah. Look, I don't think there was any need for him to spit, but as someone who in Taskmaster has spat in a cup and made Alex Horn drink it before, let me tell you, there's never a reason, but it's always funny. So 5 points for Mwan for Bin Juice. I think he's the only person who thought outside the box. He realised, just make the cocktail in the bin.
Oh,
but then you don't have to worry about the noise.
Disgusting. There was hair. I loved Alex just listing off all of the things that were in the bin. It was quite dirty, that bin, yeah. Some hair, yeah.
But that, I think that's their fault.
Was there a bottle top in there?
There was a bottle top. Mwan put that on as a little bit of decoration.
As a garnish.
And called it Bin Juice. I just thought it was genius. It made me. I mean, he's absolutely smashing this episode so far. It's double 5 points.
Absolutely.
But it's my highlight of the episode is within Mwan's cocktail making. It's when he borrowed a fleece off a crew member.
Oh, and it had keys in it.
And it had keys in it. And he was trying to wrap the cocktail shaker in it.
Who puts keys in a fleece?
Oh, it's just perfect. It's the only. I know. It's only Taskmaster that sort of thing could happen on. Anywhere else would you borrow a fleece to quietly shake a cocktail, and it turns out there were keys in it?
I know. I love the things. This is the thing I love about the show, is that it's the things that you end up saying you never thought you'd say, and the stupid things people come out with. It's just it's glorious.
Yeah, it's. You know, you say things in Taskmaster that you know no one else in the world has ever said during the entire history of time.
And will never say again.
So I had one where I was trying to put super glue into grapes so I could stick them back onto stalks. And I'd not opened the super glue. And I said, I've been injecting grapes with nothing, which no one has ever said before. So points wise, it was obviously 5 points for Mwan again, because that was just, Bin Juice was stunning. He thought outside the box. I think any time you can make Alex disgusted is good in Greg's eyes.
Yeah.
Whereas he quite enjoyed Johnny's, but Johnny still got 4 points for the Cloudy Mule.
It was a good name.
It was a good name. Yeah, that's the most cocktail-y sounding name. Yeah. Although I would order a cocktail called Bin Juice.
And if Daisy had actually meant to call it Fucksake, that would have been great. But she didn't. She just called it Fucksake.
She doesn't. I don't think she works with puns. Daisy, no. I think she's just, if she's written fuck's sake, she means fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Catherine Milk, 1 point. I think that's harsh, because I think there's probably a pop-up bar somewhere in East London that is serving milk as a cocktail.
Absolutely. Well, there's a place that just serves cereal, isn't there?
Exactly. The Cereal Killer Cafe.
Cereal Killers. Yeah.
Exactly.
So it should be next door, in theory.
You have to go from one to the other. And then spoons opposite.
Yeah.
Milk got 1 point. Fucksake/Fucksake got 2 points. It Doesn't Matter Horn, 3 points. Cloudy Mule, 4 points. Bin Juice, 5 points. I feel like that's a fair lineup of points. Maybe I'd give Catherine one more point for Milk. Nah, and the rest of them seem fair to me.
I think it was fair.
I've done it again! Failure! Failure! Failure!
And now it's time to hear from our BFF bonus fact finder, Alex Horn.
Oh, hello! It's Alex Horn here, your new BFF bonus fact finder. And I'm recording this from within the Taskmaster's airing cupboard, where I am trapped and happy. So today's bonus fact involves food, because I can exclusively reveal to you that Moan's bin juice from the silent cocktail task has not made it into my top five list of worst things I've put in my mouth during my time on Taskmaster. So here for you is my top five worst things that I've put in my mouth during my time on Taskmaster. At number five, it's Bob Mortimer's face. At number four, it's a whole key lime pie that Jessica Nappet brought and that Greg Davis made me eat. Thank you, Greg. At number three now, it's dog food pasta made by Tim Key in Series 1. At number two, it's Ed Gamble's spit in a teacup. And at number one, it's burnt pornography magazine that was force-fed to me by Lou Sanders. I should say the nicest thing I've ever eaten on the show was hot toothpaste pie. Do give it a go, it's delicious. And also, you don't need to brush your teeth after you've eaten it. Goodbye, everyone. I will see you next week. Yum, 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 yum.
So, moving on to task two. Draw the animal that is watching you. The animal is wearing a hat. You must look in the mirror at all times. Now, I'd say, Jess, that Taskmaster often feels like being in a Saw film. I don't know if you felt that, where you walk in, you don't know what's going to happen, and you've got to work your way through it. But this is the closest it's got to the Saw franchise. Just the room it was in, it felt like someone had been murdered in there. The two-way mirror, it was so creepy. The animal wearing a hat had a sort of surrealistic horror feel to it.
Absolutely terrifying. They're not even denying it anymore, are they? They're just getting more and more sadistic.
It's an experiment into to human terror. So they had this button that if they hit the button, they lost time, but they got to see what was in the room, essentially.
Yeah, didn't Richard have a funny name for that button?
The Switto.
The Switto.
Because it was written backwards and he read it as Switto. He's supposed to be the clever one. Would you have hit the button or would you have just panicked and just drawn any animal?
Well, this is the thing, because would I have seen the button? Somebody didn't see the button. Was it Moan again?
Moan again, but again, he just decided to look through. He just used his hands and just looked through the mirror. It's the simplest way of doing it. Sometimes the simplest thing is the best.
He's the Kerry Godleyman.
Yeah.
Of this
Certainly in this episode. Bear in mind, in the first episode, he tried to put helium in an egg. So he's up and down.
That's true. I like to think. But then it's all very well saying this now. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. I think I would have guessed that it was a duck if I couldn't see it.
Okay. And
I
had... Now, Jess, that is a huge claim. That's an even bigger claim than you claiming you could invent a Polaroid camera that always develops photos of you. How?
I can see... Well, because, okay, there was another series where, no, this is stupid, but the duck, the rubber duck, hear me out, Ed, it is, the rubber duck is synonymous with Taskmaster. And don't you try and tell me that it's not a motif.
I'm agreeing with you.
So I think that if I'd have walked into that room being like, great, well, I can't see it. And then the sort of thing that would have happened to me would have been that I hadn't figured out where the button was, or I just missed something completely. That happened to me a lot.
Yeah.
Where I just didn't get it.
Yeah.
I think that I would have just, you know, like Johnny did, he was like, oh, they mean me. It's, you know, it's there's an interpretation is required.
Yeah.
So anyway, if I hadn't have seen the button, that might have happened.
Then you would have. But you think you were confident that you would have guessed it was a duck.
Yeah, I'm sticking with that.
That is amazing. Well done, you. 5 points.
And I would have known it was wearing a fez. So 5 points to me. But no, I think I if I'd have seen the button, I definitely would have pressed it. But then, of course, the problems aren't solved there. It doesn't stop there, does it? Then you've got to draw backwards in front of a mirror, which looks very hard. And you could tell how hard it is because the artist, Johnny Vegas, was very distressed.
Yeah, Johnny was distressed. I mean, Daisy and Richard both hit the switto and saw the duck and lost time. I thought Daisy's was pretty good.
Yeah,
Richard's
was
bad.
Good.
Richard's was a very bad drawing of a duck. But like you say, you have to draw it backwards. You couldn't quite make out it was a duck. Daisy's was quite good. I think Greg was overly harsh on that piece of art.
I liked Mwan's description of a duck. I can't remember. There was some conversation about ducks having big lips.
Well, he managed to look through the mirror. He didn't use the switto. He just, went route one and looked through the mirror, like we say. But I thought his drawing was quite nice, but Greg claimed that he'd drawn a duck with lips. And then Mwan then tried to argue that the a beak is just hard lips.
I would have backed Mwan up on that.
I 100% back him on that. I thought the drawing was judged poorly. I actually think it was my favourite drawing. I think he should have got extra points for not using the switto and just looking through the mirror.
Yes.
I think he was judged harshly there, but maybe Greg didn't want him to run away with it in this episode because he's already got the maximum in the first two tasks.
Yeah, and he doesn't like people to get cocky.
He doesn't, but then also you would have thought at this stage maybe give Catherine a little confidence boost the other way around because she... Yeah. I mean, she assumed it was a rat. So this is why I challenge you that you would have definitely guessed it was a duck because Catherine seemed confident that it was a rat, that they had actual rats in there wearing little hats.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. I think if it had been early on in the series, I wouldn't have guessed it was a duck. I'll give you that. It's okay. Only because ducks are used so often.
Yeah. Well, maybe if Catherine had watched more of the show, she would have realised that they never use rats.
No.
She deserved bottom place, I think, to be fair.
But I would say there aren't any other animals that are Taskmaster animals.
Interesting. I'm sure someone will email in taskmasterpodcast@gmail.com if there is another Taskmaster animal. So let us know.
Tweet me
directly.
Is
there a Taskmaster animal? Yeah. Tweet Jess directly. Now, Johnny, I think this is controversial. He was wearing a hat. So when he read that it was an animal in a hat in the mirror, he automatically assumed it was him and drew himself. And it was a good self-portrait, especially as he was doing it backwards. I don't think he should have been given full points for that because he didn't spot the switto. He didn't do a drawing of what was behind the mirror. He didn't even guess it was a duck. I mean, as we all know, you can just guess it was a duck.
I suppose also when you walk into that room, it's pretty... I like to think it's pretty obvious that it's not a mirror, that it's a two-way mirror.
Yes, yeah, 100%. And I don't think on Taskmaster, one of the tasks would be do a self-portrait looking in a mirror. I just think that's too basic. I think he should have thought that maybe there were some extra steps to it. And I feel like the 5 points was maybe undeserved. And look, I like all of them, but I don't think that was right. I think Daisy got 4 points. I think she should have got the 5 points. And I think Mwan should have also got 5 points, to be honest. I think the other two, fine, points-wise. But I loved the way Mwan did the drawing. I love the duck lips. That sort of thing should be rewarded.
I would agree with that. Wholeheartedly.
We come to task three. Massively stressful task. Transfer the water from butt A to butt B. You may not move a butt in the first 5 minutes. And then, of course, sneaky Alex Horn kicks out the bung in butt A and the water starts flooding out.
Awful business.
An absolutely awful business. I would have gone mad. I would have gone mad at him. I might have physically attacked him if I'd seen that he'd done that.
I would have been very upset during this task. I definitely wouldn't have seen the water pouring out.
Yeah.
Who was it who said, oh, it's wet around here something?
It was, of course, Catherine, I think. Yeah, going, oh, it's a bit wet around here, completely missing what was going on.
Yeah, it was just, I never really liked those physical tasks. It was a very clever task, but it was one of the ones that really felt like it was designed to trick you.
Yeah, and there was it was designed to make you panic and stop you thinking outside the box. Daisy looked defeated straight away. Richard did his normal panicking dad. And Catherine reverted to type and tried to get Alex to lift the barrel for her because every single task she gets Alex to help.
Yes, well, this is what I was going to bring this up because it's quite controversial to do that on Taskmaster, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
To bring in the help of Alex Horn. And also, I'm quite surprised how frequently he does it. It's usually the actresses. I was very determined to not be that person. I didn't want to be seen. It's actresses who, and I know the type, they're used to people doing things for them.
That is a big swing from Jess Nappet.
Sorry, Catherine. But you can't just say, do this, move that, do my task for me. The thing is, it's so enjoyable to see him in those awkward positions.
Yeah.
Doing stuff, lifting butts, but getting wet. But, you know, having to... Rod Gilbert was the one who utilised Alex the most in our series.
Of course.
And it was enjoyable because you do want to see Alex getting involved.
I think that's fine. I think getting Alex involved in that way, in the way Rod did, as a victim, making him wear a bikini, tying him up, turning him into a bum fountain, I think is totally legitimate. But when it comes to lift this for me, I think you should be punished for that. You've got to draw the line at that. To be fair, quite often when Alex helps Catherine, it doesn't help her. So it's just to stop her being completely humiliated. So in this task, she still came bottom. So it's not like she suddenly came top because of Alex's help. He is just there to stop her being completely sort of devastated.
Yes, that's true. I mean, he is a hindrance. That was my experience of Alex.
If you ask him to help, he will slow you down.
Yeah, I mean, he just didn't. Even the questions he asks when he is trying to help you are more confusing.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever really helped me.
He's there to befuddle, certainly. Johnny tried to plug the hole with mud, which I thought was just the way he's dressed as well, because he's dressed like a sort of country gent, and then he was packing that hole with mud. It was like a chapter from a Thomas Hardy book.
Yeah, that was great. But then it only worked for a few seconds, didn't it?
Of course, because mud gets wet, famously.
Mud gets wet. What were you supposed to do?
I don't know. See, this is the thing. This is one of those tasks. They're very frustrating. So he sets them a lot, Alex, where they're like riddles, but there's no answer to them. So you go, how you get all that water from there to there? It's like the fox and the chicken and the grain, but there's an answer to that. But he sets all these riddles, the setup to them, but doesn't come up with an answer. So you need to find your own way of doing it. And sometimes it's impossible. But Moan, again, this episode, found the answer. I thought this was an absolute genius move of using fresh water from a hose, funneling it through butt A into butt B, essentially made a little everlasting fountain. What an episode for him.
That really, he really did absolutely nail that. There's absolutely no way I would have thought. I'd have just been using a mug.
Yeah, but that's what it was designed to do. I like to think I would have eventually come up with what Moan did, but I definitely wouldn't have done. I would have used a mug. I then almost certainly would, and I've written this down as I was watching it, I would have started to try to transport it with my mouth. I would have dunked my head under the water in butt A, and I would have spat it into butt B.
That's your 5 minutes gone, Catherine.
Just roll it across so I can... That's it. Ah, little bastard. There's a hole in the bottom.
So we move to the studio task. It's another drawing studio task. It's a team drawing task. Draw the animal 3 lines at a time. Now, I'm someone who has a history with team drawing tasks in the studio and getting very angry. I had a meltdown at David Baddiel, which is probably the thing that's quoted back to me the most out of everything I've done on Taskmaster. But I think Daisy has now taken my crown in terms of anger during studio tasks, because I couldn't believe it. And it's not righteous anger. She wasn't right to be angry because what she was drawing looked nothing like a hippo.
No. It was... I mean, I have to say, Daisy's fury has really taken me by surprise. I didn't know she had it in her. I knew she was... Because she does the sort of petulant thing on this country very well. She's really funny sulker. And she had sulked earlier in the series when the upside down film...
Upside down chicken film, yeah.
Upside down chicken film was poo-pooed, wasn't it?
Yes.
And she sulked and said she wasn't going to speak for the rest of the series. and I thought, oh, I mean, it's very entertaining because she really meant it.
Yeah.
She really, really believed that it was very clear that she'd drawn a hippo. And I need to see Daisy and Richard Herring with their own show where Daisy just shouts at Richard Herring and he physically cowers.
He couldn't say. I mean, Richard Herring is a man who's got something to say to everything, and that is he looked so worried. He looked genuinely terrified.
But what I want to know is this Daisy, or is it the pregnancy talking? Is she hormonal? Because I know that rage, and I've been there, but I don't know. I get the sense that this might just be her.
I mean, I loved the quote from her, which was, I hate you more than my husband.
Yes.
Which gives you a lovely insight into their home life.
Wonderful.
I don't think they're playing Pictionary a lot, let's be honest.
Do you not think that looks like a hippo?
No.
I even did the tail. I had three.
I don't know what a hippo's tail looks like.
And I said, it's small tail. Only elephants and hippos have that kind of tail.
Just astonishing. Gosh. What a brilliant display of rage from her. So after a wonderful episode from Moan, he is, of course, the victor. He takes 22 points, which brings him up to a series total of 90, which has really redressed the balance. Second place in that episode was Johnny with 19. Then we've got Daisy with 14, Richard with 12, and sadly, Catherine coming in bottom again with 10 points. And in terms of the series... Daisy's still in the lead on 105. She's broken into triple figures. But then everyone else, apart from Catherine, is pretty close. Although there's still four episodes. If something goes very well for Catherine, I'm sure she can be in the running. But I feel like it might be a four-way race for the victory even now. And I know those sort of close points fill you with dread, Jess.
Ugh. Yeah, I mean, that's why I think that's where I think Daisy's rage was coming from, because she doesn't want Richard sabotaging. It can feel that way.
Yeah. Do you have any predictions? Who do you think might win the series?
Well, I like to... I think it's going to be either Daisy or Moan.
Nice. I don't think we've had any predictions for Moan yet, but I can see why after this episode you'd say that.
Certainly after this episode. I think it's anybody's game but Catherine's.
Simple. Now, some emails. We've had lots of questions from the listeners. They've emailed taskmasterpodcast@gmail.com with some questions for you.
Did it hurt when you fell off the stage?
You'll be unsurprised to hear that there are some references to the stage. And actually, do you want to do the air horn noise quickly?
Can do, yeah.
Go on.
Actually, that wasn't very good.
It wasn't very good. You've lost it. What a shame.
Hang on, wait. I haven't
That's
done
the best
it for
way
ages.
That could have done.
God. That wasn't
have you
very
lost
good
it?
Either.
What have you lost it?
I can't believe it. It just has been so long, Ed. I'm really upset about this. Hang on, wait.
Oh, come on. Oh, that's the last thing. You've had to let go of Taskmaster completely, and now you can't even do the air horn.
I don't know if I can carry on.
Well, look, muse on this question while you're still reeling from the fact you've lost your skill. Hi, Ed and Jess. My question for Jess is, if you had to pick one other member to join your group for the team tasks, who would you pick? Let's say from your series...
Okay, so it was me and Kerry.
Mm.
on my series.
Obviously, the other team were quite dysfunctional on your series.
I mean, yeah, you have to pick the best from a bad bunch, really.
Yeah.
No offense to the lads, but it would be James, I think, just because he's the least worst.
I'm sure he'd be chuffed to hear that as well, because I know he wanted to be on your team.
You need to answer that question.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Well, I was on the team of three. So I was on a team with Katie and Rose. And I would have, I would have had Joe Brand on the team. I basically wouldn't have wanted David Baddiel on the team. Lovely
Why
man.
Not?
Got on with him very well, but he was absolutely useless at everything he turned his hand to.
That was a surprise.
It was a huge surprise to everyone, including David Baddiel. I wouldn't have had it any other way, though. Absolutely incredible. Because after two episodes, you knew going in, yeah, I've done some bad stuff, but I'm never going to be worse than someone. There was a buffer for every single task.
Yeah. Kind of like Phil with us.
Yeah, exactly. This is from Leah in Birmingham. Hi, guys. What I've always wondered is, are you told who your competitors are before you go for filming? If not, have there ever been any incidents where people have turned up on team day and not known who their teammate is? Now, I'm not sure what Leah means there, whether you turn up on team day and they arrive and you've no idea who they are, what they do, you've never heard of them before, or whether you just don't know who it's going to be. That's true of all team days. You don't know who's going to be on your team until they arrive.
Yeah, it's always you know who the other contestants are.
Yes.
You're told the lineup. Unless you're Rod and you've never heard of me, then you know, and you tell everyone that you've never heard of me in an interview that is actually aired.
Where did he say that?
No, we had for the trailer. I think it was for the teaser or the trailer. We had to name all of the other contestants in alphabetical order, I think.
Right, yeah.
And that was the task. And then that was the way that they revealed the new contestants for the series.
Yeah.
And then Rod was just going, I don't know her. I don't know the other one. I don't know her name. Don't know who she is.
Oh, absolute vintage Rod. That is classic stuff. Oh, man, that's so funny.
Well, you will, Rod. You will.
This is from Elisa. Hi, Jess. How quick did you read the video game task and decide you were going to reenact Mario Kart? It was an amazing rendition. That's another one of my highlights of your Taskmaster, by the way.
That was great. And also, this is a good bit of BTS Taskmaster goss, was that, because you know how you film in blocks?
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd started filming this. This was like one of the very first tasks that I had to do. I had just had a baby that I was still having to give milk to.
Yes.
So at certain points, I had to go and pump my boobs, which is where you get the milk out of your boobs so you can save it and give it to your baby later. And I had to do that dressed as Mario from Mario in my dressing room.
Yeah.
It was just one of the highlights of my life as a working mother.
Yeah, just a plumber dealing with their own plumbing.
Exactly. It's just a great image. Tash on. Cap on.
I mean, anyway. Babies probably have more memories than you think they do, right? There's probably going to be a memory floating around somewhere in your child's head of, do you remember when mummy had a moustache?
Yeah, well, I've got a horrible picture of her next to Greg's portrait because she was in the Baxter in the green room at one point, and then there's just this big looming portrait of Greg behind her looking terrifying. As with all of the tasks, I went pretty much the thing that always kills me with any creative decision is overthinking, and because I know that about myself, the thing that I tried to do was just go with the first idea I had.
Yeah.
So the Mario Kart one, I instantly thought, Mario Kart, that was my favourite game when I was a kid.
It was a great
Off
decision.
We go.
Very well executed, I got to say.
Thank you.
A 3, 2, 1, go!
Woohoo! Yes, thank you so much for coming on the Taskmaster podcast. What we always do at the end of the Taskmaster podcast is we ask you to rate your experience on the podcast 1 to 5 points.
Oh, well, I'm just an absolute 5.
Yes. Now, I'll be honest, most people are polite and give a 5 point. Paul Chowdhury gave it a 1. Yeah, Paul Chowdhury gave
Paul,
it a 1.
Of course he did.
Which has brought down the average somewhat, but thank you for trying to get it back up there. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much, Jess.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure.
Well, there we go. Another really fun episode of the Taskmaster podcast. Thank you very much, Jess, for coming on and chatting to me. I can't believe it's episode 7 next week. It's going so quickly. We've got another brilliant guest for next week, who I'll tell you about shortly. But before that, don't forget Taskmaster YouTube channel, youtube.com/Taskmaster, taskmasterstore.com for all your Taskmaster gift needs. If you want to email us, taskmasterpodcast@gmail.com, get your questions in for me and my special guests. They can be general questions, they can be specific to me, they can be specific to the guest, but get them in. We love to hear from you. And I'm very happy to tell you that next week's special guest is Rose Matafeo. Yes, another season 9 chum of mine. My biggest competitor in season 9, I've got to say, in terms of actually wanting to win. She was desperate to win, so I'm looking forward to hearing her talk about that. It'll be a really fun episode. I would definitely tune in for that one. And do send in. Tune in. It's a podcast. I do other podcasts. I know you don't tune in. Come on, Ed. Send in the questions for me and Rose. I'm sure we'll have an argument, whatever you send. So that will be out next week after the main show on Channel 4. So about 10 p.m. we tend to drop a hot pod. That sounded more disgusting than I anticipated. The podcast's release at 10 p.m. on a Thursday. So let me know what you think. And let me know what you want me to ask Rose. But thanks again to Jess. We will see you again next week for episode 7 of the Taskmaster podcast. Goodbye.